What up? What up? Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. I'm Scott. I'm going solo today. Kind of getting payback a little bit what I did last week with Lexi. I think that, you know, no business to go around just getting right into what's going on in the league. Honestly, the big thing is I don't know what Lexi's gone over. I'd assume most of the trades. And things like that. You had a Framber Valdez no-hitter. You had your Domingo Ramon issues again, as usual. But some things that I also want to go over. I want to start with the Yankees. We're at an interesting spot right now where we're starting to pick up a little bit on the offensive side. And I really do mean a little bit. Luis Severino is doing terribly pitching wise. The other night, as in two nights ago now, in our last game versus Chicago, he went two innings, five hits, four earned, giving up a home run, one walk, two strikeouts. Currently in August, he has 13 and a half innings pitched, two losses, nine earned runs across six innings, a 13.5 ERA. In July, he had an 11.2 ERA, giving up 27 earned runs through 21 and two-thirds inning. June, 6.93 ERA, 24.2 innings pitched, 19 earned runs. The only time he looked good was his two starts in May. What's been up? This is a Severino that understandably has been hurt. And that's not something that's overly surprising. He's been hurt in the past. But we saw him at the end of last year. He looked really good. He is one of the best, you know, probably one of the best starting pitching changeups. And he's just not looking like he understands what he's doing. Through his 14 games this year, it's an 8.06 ERA. He's 2-7. And again, those two wins came June 24th and July 23rd against Texas and Kansas City. It still really isn't even that good. His Kansas City, he got the win. But that was 5.2 innings pitched, three earned runs, two home runs. He has gone three starts all year where he hasn't given up a home run. That's it. So as I said, 14 games and three of them didn't have a home run in it, at least one. Luis Severino is a big problem right now. And it hurts that Domingo Ramon did not pitch overly well. Immediately past the perfect game he threw. He had a little bit of issues, had like one pretty solid game, and then now he's again suspended. And that just puts our rotation really into the shitter. It's just really not in a good place. Right now, our starters to be determined for the day that this comes out on Friday for our first game against Miami. And it's really getting into a situation where it's like that. And it's a tough situation where we're running out of solid starting pitching. And I mean, we're going to have to see people come back up from where they were. And I want to try to get this. I'm going to try to look at our roster, but that really wasn't working too well. But like, it hurts because you can't do something about Severino. If he's playing, like, I mean, he's playing poorly, but you can't do anything about him because you need him. Because, you know, Domingo Ramon goes and is out. We got Cortez back. Good, solid, but that still doesn't put us in a great spot. You have Cole, who's been pitching as he has and has been not at all, you know, disappointing, surprising. Nestor Cortez has kind of reverted back to more of his average, a little on the worst side. Through his 63 innings pitched, he has a 4.97 ERA. So not great, but as I said, again, not something that is the biggest worry. It's not good. It's not something we should be relying on, but at the same time, it's something we can deal with. You know, his first game back was the 5th, and that was since May. The end of May was the last time he pitched before 6 days ago. And in that game, he went 4 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 1 home run, 1 walk, 8 Ks against Houston. So coming back, you can always say first game, you know, oh, he's back completely. But, you know, I wouldn't want to say this. Currently, his August number is 4 innings pitched. As I said, he has a 2.25 ERA. So looking good, first game back, and especially against a very good team in Houston. But he still had a rough time, rough first 2 months, but you can't be overly surprised by stuff like that. What matters isn't what he did the first few months. It's going to be what he does to end the season here, and especially with how our starting pitching is. It's super valuable to, you know, come back and have a solid starting pitcher. So, yeah, then as I said again, Gerrit Cole has been doing his same thing he's been doing, being absolutely dominant, and for the most part, there has not been a team to back him up, which is really quite sad. He's top in the Cy Young voting. Cy Young expected voting. 10-3 record, 2.75 ERA, and 160 Ks. I mean, you're looking at a whip of 1.04. He is looking extremely, extremely good, as he always does. And for the most part, I mean, you're looking at, as I said, a 10-3 record, but he also has 24 games played. So he has 11 games unanswered, or no decision, I should say. Which really is a bit disappointing and kind of shows you the positioning of this team offensively, where they've been for the most part. Going into a big situation like we've seen in the past. And ideas of he when this is early in the year. This wasn't actually early in the year. This was is 3 starts ago, he got 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 0 earned runs. We lose 1-0 to the Orioles. He had a rough starting his last outing 4 days ago against the White Sox. He had 7 innings, 4 earned. We ended up losing 5-1. Losses against Colorado through 11, 6 innings pitched, 1 earned. Two earned versus St. Louis through 6. Like, these are good quality starts, and there's a lot that he loses. The Mets, way back in June, 6 innings pitched, 1 earned. We lose that 4-3. And it's interesting almost because there are times where he's given up more runs, had a poor outing, and has gotten wins off of it. He had 5 earned runs against the Rays. And then that ended up being a loss, I should say. But he had 5 earned runs against against the Orioles and the Padres, and we end up winning both of those games. But at the same time, when we go and, you know, as I said, that Baltimore game, 7 innings, 0 earned runs, and you can't win that game. You can't put any offense up. Same thing, Colorado, 6 innings, 1 earned, and you can't win that game. There's only so much you can really do as a pitcher in a situation like that you just kind of have to sit back and be like, what the hell? And I feel like he's not getting the support that he should be getting, especially from this Yankee team. I mean, one thing that you can really tell from it is just by looking at the stats. You can kind of tell how not only his offensive stats, but the pitching stats across the team is something that is so drastic. You look at games played, it's innings pitch, I should say. Number 1 is Gerrit Cole, clearly, 150. Number 2 is Clark Schmidt, Number three is Domingo Germán, Luis Severino, Nestor Cortez. You have Clark Schmidt, who really is not doing overly well. I do have to give him props. He stepped it up recently. Through the last seven days, I should say, he has 2 starts, 10 1/3 innings pitch, 3 earned runs. There's a bunch of numbers on what he's done, like third time around the order or whatever, fourth time around the order, things like that. I think it, Michael Kay went and spoke about it. He spoke about it really well, and it's a really specific thing. There's two ways to look at pitching, and Clark Schmidt's problem isn't always the third time around the order. It's like pitch number 80 to 100 or something like that. Like they had the slugging percentages or the OPS, I think it was, of all the different, like 1 through 25, 25 through 50, 50 through 80, 80 to 100. And it gradually went up, but like the 80 to 100, he was at like a 950 OPS or something like that. And so, I mean, you expect that. You expect that that's how pitching works. At the same time, that's something that the Yankees need to notify and notice and be like, okay, when he's getting around that area, we need to take him out. He can't go, you know, 200 pitchers. You can't go 100 pitches, 95 pitches every game. Sometimes you got to take him out early. You got to be aware of like when that stuff starts happening and you just pull him. And I mean, that's been a great job. As I said, the last 2 starts, he has 3 earned runs. He had 11 across July. So he's at 14 runs through his last 32 2/3 innings, which really isn't that bad. And as I said again, it's really about just that tail end of the order. His splits at the end of the order is where it gets to him, or end of his outing, he kind of falls off very quickly. He went and had a very good game versus the White Sox. Trying to pull up the numbers. 5 1/3 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 7 Ks, and 1 walk. That's what you look for. That's all you need. That's all you look for in a situation like that. And you know, the 5 1/3 isn't great. He went through 88 pitches, but that's that exact situation. You need to know when, you know, Clark Schmidt goes and pitches, it may be a bit heavier in the bullpen, but you're still going to go and get a quality 5 innings. I'm pulling up his splits exactly to get, you know, to see what he has. By inning, you can see his first inning ERA is a 2.74. His second inning is a 3.91. And then it's all the way up the fifth inning, he's at a 6.62 ERA. He has 5 home runs given up across 21 innings pitched. So that's his big thing. But at the same time, he has a 17 strikeout to walk ratio. Oh, sorry. That's in the fourth inning, I should say. His fifth inning, he has 3 home runs given up across 17 2/3 innings. In the fourth inning, he has 5 home runs across 21 1/3 with a 4.2 ERA. But yeah, I mean, he's somebody who, you know, the batting average, he only has 6 1/3 innings in the sixth inning, but his batting average is .400. His slugging goes to .733 in the sixth inning. So it's really, he's somebody who can be a solid 3, a solid 4. Because you know the leverage you'll need, you know the backup you'll need in the bullpen. But right now he's having to go and pitch like a 2. And really he's a 3 right now. And Clark Schmidt would be a very solid 3, 4. Severino, as we went over, you know, pitching terribly. And these are our start right now on our active roster. Our starting pitchers are Gerrit Cole, Nestor Cortez, Clark Schmidt, Luis Severino. And right now, Luis Severino, I don't want to see on the mound for a minute. We have no other pitcher, no other starter that is on the roster right now. I'd hope that we'd make a change, go and throw somebody down to AAA to pull up a pitcher and then kind of do the flip again, or, you know, throw anybody down. Right now we have a lot of people across our outfield. So our roster is getting a little interesting. We have Greg Allen on the roster, Jake Bauer's on the roster, Oswaldo's on the roster, and Billy McKinney's on the roster. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 players who you would probably never put really in a starting lineup. You'd think in your head to never put in a starting lineup. And I think one of them will probably get dropped down, pick up a starting pitcher for tomorrow. On our 40-man, we have a few options. I think Brito's always a good one. There's probably a ton that we will never pick up. I mean, we have Ron Marinaccio in the minors right now, which is an interesting one, but I mean, that's creating the whole issue with Domingo. Randy Vasquez as well, but like, there's not really starting pitchers that I think that we'd really pull up immediately, especially with Rodon going back on the IL, which just happened, you know, his last start. He goes and gets hurt, of course, immediately, had a few bad outings, and now is back on the IL, and it's taxing because you can always go through one starting pitcher getting hurt, but, you know, having a starting pitcher get hurt and then another one get, you know, indefinitely suspended, really kind of taxes it, and that's what I'm going over right now. I'd assume we'd see Johnny Brito get called up again, because you can't go a four man rotation, and you can't do a bullpen game because I don't think we have the bullpen arms for it. Would I love seeing Tommy Canley go 3 innings? Yes, Michael King can go 3 innings. Loaiza can go 2. We have arms, but at the same time, right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bullpen arms. And as I just said, you need bullpen arms and Clark Schmidt pitches. You've needed basically a bullpen game when Luis Severino pitches. We're just not in a situation to be able to take that tax of going and using bullpen arms because we know we'll need them. One person that I do want to point out and has been playing a lot is Ben Wortvedt, the legendary Ben Wortvedt, who doesn't exist. Of the last, I'm going to try to get what he's had recently. His last 5 games, he is hitless. He's been getting a lot of reps. Played the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, and 8th. Except, sorry, the 4th he didn't. The 4th he came in at the end. But he's been getting a lot of reps, which I guess replaces, you know, gives Higgy time off. But at the same time, that's not what I want. That is not something I'd want from him. He is not playing very well. His batting average right now is 107. He has 3 hits across 28 at-bats, a run and an RBI. But beyond that, he has just been quite atrocious. And I really don't know why he would go and be playing over Higgy. I guess you could say the fielding percentage. Through his 15 games, he has 95 innings caught and 2 assists. So 2 runners thrown out and 1,000 fielding percentage. But his caught stealing percentage is at 38. Which is above the league caught stealing percentage is 21, but he's caught 3 runners, 5 runners let up, 1 pass ball, 3 wild pitches. He just isn't as valuable as he should be for the amount of game play that he's getting. he is not playing up to par. Higashioka, again, is being Higashioka. He's not being perfect right now, but he is batting at least 224 across 183 ABs. So his WAR is negative. He has a negative 0.5 WAR. Ben Wortman has a negative 0.1 WAR. So right now you have a lose-lose, technically, wins above replacement in catching, but Higashioka will get you a little bit more offense in an offense that's struggling. And at the same time, you will have a catcher who is still very good. His defensive stats may not be perfect, but at the same time, he has caught the perfect game. He's caught the no-hitter. He has the ability to be a good catcher. Okay, here we go. Now I got it up. Ben Horvath's batting just over 100, which, look at that. That's horrendous. And on a team that's really been struggling on batting as a whole, in average, we are 29th. We are behind the Oakland Athletics by 10 points. The team in first, of course, is the Atlanta Braves. 40 points ahead of us. 41 points of average ahead of us. And it's just, you can look through all the stats and they're very similar. OPS. We aren't last in OPS, but we're ninth to last. At a 7-11. Nice. It's just been that this is not a roster that should be doing this. 26th in on-base percentage. We are, like, the only, we have a few stats we're good at. We're 20th in strikeouts. Look at that. We've struck out. We're top 10 in strikeouts. Woo. In least strikeouts, I should say. We're 12th in walks. But beyond that, we're having good at bats, but at the same time, our production isn't there. We are 18 hits. There's 18 hits difference between us in 29th place and the Mets in 28th. We just aren't hitting. That's our problem. And that's the simplest way to put it. We just aren't hitting. You cannot expect to win a ton of games when you can't hit. Granted, also at the same time, our pitching, we are 11th in pitching. So we're up there. We're doing solid. But it doesn't matter how good your pitching is if you can't score. I want to look at... sorry about that. Runs. So we are... what is that? 21st? 22nd, sorry. 22nd in runs scored. No duh. Doesn't matter if you don't give up a lot of runs, but at the same time, we aren't scoring any runs, so it doesn't matter. And at the same time, we're 11th in ERA, but we're 2 points away from giving up or getting the least, so we just straight up don't get any. So here, I will get the exact numbers here. We have allowed 495 runs. We've allowed 495. And as I said, we have scored 494. We are technically losing. If the whole season was a game, we are losing by one run. You can't be doing that. And, it's impressive that we're, a few games over 500, but it's really not what you want. It's not a good number. And it's something that is primarily on our offense. I think our pitching is doing a really, really good job. I think that there are hiccups, yes. But our opponent average is the second lowest, right behind the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, we have the abilities. We have the deep, we have the pitching to do it. It's just that our offense is lacking so much. Here's another comparison I want to do. We have an opponent batting average of 231. Our team average is 232. So we are hitting at, we, our hitting is reflective of how good our pitching is against other teams. I don't even think that's a correct way of putting it, but you get the idea. We are good pitching, we are terrible batting, and it really is the whole reason that this is going down, this season's kind of going down as it is. That's really all I had to say and get off my chest in terms of the Yankees. I want to hop around the league. I'll probably go through a few things maybe that Lexi probably went over. Fewest games played to reach 100 career home runs. Fernando Tatis got to number 4 at 362 career games. Still the most impressive thing is Gary Sanchez at number 3, Aaron Judge at 5. Then there's Pete Alonso at 2, 347, and Ryan Howard has the lead at 325 games. With Ryan Howard sticking on the Phillies, Cole Hamels officially retires. He's a 4-time All-Star, won the World Series in 2008 and the World Series MVP that year, and had 2,500 career strikeouts. This is kind of the big thing, again, where you're like, oh, he finally retired? He wasn't retired for a while. But still, congrats to him. Great career. An absolute legend of my childhood. I do remember Cole Hamels. Kind of going back to our home run numbers, and I know there's one big thing that happened this week, but I'll get to that in a minute. Jose Altuve hit career home run number 200. Of course, that was against the Yankees. Who else? I am interested in his numbers versus the Yankees, so I'm going to look that up right now. Altuve is very good. Simplest way to put it. Especially at his age, 200 home runs at 33 years old, but also has an over 300 career batting average is very, very impressive. I do want to see him pulling up his career batting splits right now. I think he is one of 5 to hit one of 5 Astros, I think, to hit 200 home runs. I think that's what popped up. I couldn't really see because of how it was framed. But he's got to get down to, there we go, opponent. So he has his most home runs versus the Angels. Oh, sorry, I should make sure I had this correct, because it wasn't in order. So, sorry, the Rangers, he has more home runs against the Rangers at 27 than he does interleague. The Rangers at 27, the Angels at 21, the Athletics at 20, the Mariners at 18. All makes sense. Those are the teams you see the most. New York Yankees right after that, 12. Tampa Bay Rays at 12. Chicago White Sox at 11. So, whatever that is. I'm doing some quick maths here. Nope. He's at 86 home runs in just the AL West. So almost half of his career home runs have come against the AL West specifically. And then you have the Yankees and the Rays and the White Sox. So that is 121 of his home runs have come from whatever that is, 6 teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams. 121 of them from 7 teams. That's impressive. He still has not hit a home run against the Phillies or the Padres. The Padres is a little surprising. The Phillies makes sense. Completely different side of the country. He has 16 games versus the Phillies, 18 versus the Padres. He is still batting .318 versus the Phillies, though, but has not gotten one over the fence. Jose Altuve is just a very, very good player. Batting average-wise, he is as high as versus St. Louis. But cool thing for him. Also, fuck that guy. Oh, wow. One thing I did forget about the Yankees was, you know, the common Aaron Boone ejection that happened versus the White Sox. And that's going to be where I'm going to start falling into everything. So Aaron Boone gets ejected after complaining or arguing a call against Laz Diaz. I feel like for the most part, you guys have seen the whole thing. Honestly, it wasn't a terrible pitch. Wasn't a terrible pitch. Goes, mocks him, draws the line, does the strikeout. I mean, it was spot on. If you're going to go out in a game, you got to go out with a show, and Aaron Boone has done that. His 32nd career ejection, which is impressive. I want to find... I'm looking up career leaders and records for manager ejections. And I can tell you Boone's going to be up there. Boone's not up there yet. The highest is 162, which is impressive. You got a whole season worth of ejections. But that was through 4,500 games. You have Bruce Bochy as 80. So the active ones right now is number 9 overall, Bruce Bochy, over 4,100 games. He has 80. Paul Richards had 82 across 1,800. That's impressive. Bob Melvin has 59. Terry Francona has 50. And then Buck Showalter has 36. Bud Black has 35. Aaron Boone, 53rd overall, 32 ejections across 823 games. There is one manager who has more ejections in the last games, and that was Bill Dolan. He had 36 ejections across 615 games. Bill Dolan took him 4 years, 4 seasons. Aaron Boone is at season 6, has 32 ejections. Again, Bud Black has 10 more seasons on him with 4 more ejections. Or sorry, 3 more ejections. Buck Showalter has 16 more seasons, has 4 more ejections. Even the highest, Bob Melvin here, has 20 seasons under his belt. 20 seasons, so you're looking 14 seasons more. Really 11 more years of life. And is only 27 away. At Aaron Boone's going for records here. I don't think he's going to get the 162. I think if he managers for another 10 years, I think he can get possibly top 10. All that you need to get top 10 is 73. So I think 32 across 6 years. I think 16 years he should be able to get the number. Really, it's really nothing that impressive and something you shouldn't be impressed about, but it's not working. That's the saddest part. Now, since we played against the White Sox when this happened, it's time to get into that ordeal. The absolute legendary moment of Jose Ramirez sliding into second base, Tim Anderson hitting him in the head, and then them squaring up and Anderson going down. The reports from that whole situation was Jose Ramirez, like, yo, he's been disrespecting the game. Like, Jose Ramirez already had some shit against Tim Anderson. You're looking at an AL Central matchup, so not an unfamiliar faces. A little bit of rivalry, a little bit of tension always. So there's a little bit of tension there. I still think probably one of the most surprising things was how that happened. You know, I guess you have a little hard hit to the head, and you can complain, but At the same time, I don't know if J-Ram knows much English, and I am 95% sure Tim Anderson doesn't know much Spanish. But yeah, they tussled, they full squared up. I think that this is better than the Batista one, the Batista Odor one, just because it was a full square up. They went to their corners, they crossed, and then, you know, few swings and a cross, and Tim Anderson went down. It wasn't a punch, it wasn't a solid punch. Tim Anderson got knocked on his ass. I think that's the most impressive part. I think that the Tim Anderson, this fight, this Tim Anderson J-Ram fight, will be the best one in history. This may be the most infamous thing J-Ram has done in a while. I love J-Ram. I think he needs a lot more attention. I think he gets so slept on. And I think that's funny that this is going to be how he's going to be remembered. After that scuffle, Tim Anderson got suspended 6 games. Jose Ramirez got suspended 3. Manuel Clase got 1. Both managers, Francona, and then there's Francona, Grifol, and Sarbaugh all got suspended. Kopech and Arias get fined. Bunch of stuff happened in that situation. Tim Anderson fought it, which I can't imagine he expected to win that. I think he just wanted to play a game or two. Texas Ranger legend Elvis Andrews gets reps at short now. But I think the funniest part was Tim Anderson going, you know, fighting his suspension. Gets to play an extra game, plays it against the Yankees, and Gerrit Cole nails him. I just think that's hilarious and worth it. Along with funny things that happened in this situation, Jose Tena was the pinch runner after Ramirez got suspended, and it turned out that it was his major league debut. What a story. What a story. To be able to remember that you went in, your debut was pinch running because one of the best third basemen in the league knocked the fuck out of him, man. To go, although it's a positive note to some, a more baseball-centered positive note, we have a bit of history. So we talked about 200 career home runs for Jose Altuve. Nick Castellanos also hit his 200th home run. This is probably about the same, roughly the same amount of time. I think Castellanos is probably like 34. Or maybe he's between 30, I think, and 30, 34. My guess. He is, come on, 31. So he is technically younger than Mr. Jose Altuve. And has, so 2 years, a difference there. Nick Castellanos had hit his 200th home run, which is great for him. He's done that across 4 teams, Detroit, Cincinnati, Philly, and Chicago. 12 years. Good for him. Great for him. This Phillies team is really starting to put up on a clinic. They started really rough. But the Phillies have been really locking it in, recently. They're 64-52. They started the season horrendously. They did not look like a team that could do anything. But as of late, Trey Turner's on a 6-game hit streak. Castellanos goes, hits 200. JT Realmuto's been hitting pretty well. They're in a good spot. They're 9.5 games back from Atlanta, but I mean that's just kind of what happens when you're going against Atlanta. Sucks though, and Mackenzie Gore, who gave up the home run on my fantasy team, but that's whatever. Yeah, but for real, this team has really done a great job. of turning around their season. You know, they came in to the year expecting to be the best, a top team, and then they just really were disappointing. But they've turned that around since. In the second half, they have won. They have 10 losses in the second half so far, with their worst being a 4-game stretch versus Milwaukee and Cleveland. They have not been swept in the second half. Not yet. But they have lost a few series. They've lost 3 series so far. But still, they're a team that is looking really, really good. And they've really been improving. And along with that, you know, 200 home runs, that with that, Michael Lorenzen last night, or I guess this is now Wednesday night, throws a no-hitter. Michael Lorenzen, Detroit Tiger legend. It's great to see. That's always the thing that I love about no-hitters, is no-hitters can happen from any pitcher. And you never expect it. The last no-hitter at Citizens Bank Ballpark was Roy Halladay back in 2010. And, you know, again, just great for Michael Lorenzen. Lorenzen just got traded. I think this is his second start or something like that. Yes, it was his second start. He had a win versus Miami, where he had 2 earned runs across 8 innings, but he's looked darn well. Questionably, Philly getting a better and better pitching staff. I still think Taijuan Walker really isn't doing as well as he can be. But it's a team that's picking up all around. I only have 2 more things to say. And that is, Matt Olson went and hit his 40th home run, which ties Shohei Ohtani for the league lead. I don't think Matt Olson is going to get MVP. He has no really chance, I think, behind his own teammate, who I feel has slowed down a little bit. I don't know if it's that he's slowed down or he just hasn't done things as impressively, I just feel like I haven't heard of him a ton recently. He still is 3rd in batting average, all MLB, behind, of course, Arias, who's batting just under 370, Freddie Freeman at 344, and then Acuna at 340. Home runs, Matt Olson and Shohei are at 40, Pete Alonso's at 35, Mookie Betts is at 31. So, it's not completely unreasonable for him to be up there. But probably the biggest thing that's going to be hurting Acuna is that he is 10th in home runs, 26. So he's a while to go. I think top 5 will lock him in. But again, he's still at 25. 25 home runs. Or sorry. Yeah, sorry. 26 home runs, 70 RBIs, and 53 stolen bases. And that 53 stolen bases is what's really doing it. Something I think is impressive is him and teammate Austin Riley both are at 26 home runs and 70 RBIs. Just a cool thing to see. Acuna also has 59 walks, which is pretty crazy to think. But yeah, I think that all that Acuna needs to do is stay top 10 in all situations for him to be up there. Like RBIs, he's not top 5. He's sitting at 21st, which really isn't a great thing to do. But again, it doesn't really matter, because if the Atlanta Braves are scoring, he can't really score because he's leading off, and then everybody else is driving him in. So it's not even that. And then to keep on track of where he's been stolen base-wise, as I said, he is 53. Estre Ruiz, who started off really, really hot for Oakland, is at 46, and then Corbin Carroll's at 36. So, stolen base-wise, Acuna has that kind of locked. But, you know, in the AL, it's Shohei, as I said, 40 home runs, and he has 10 pitching wins, which, again, wins don't mean shit, but it's still impressive. It still puts him top 10 in the league right now, especially on a team that is dog shit. Finally, we spoke about Detroit legend Michael Lorenzen, and as in Detroit legend, I mean for whatever, the half a season. Miguel Cabrera passes Robin Yount for sole possession of 19th place in the all-time hit list at 3,143. So, good for Miguel. Good for a Tiger. Finally, they have something to be happy for. They really haven't had a ton this year. But yeah, you know, just can't hate on Miggy. But yeah, that's really all I have to say this week. I think I'm surprisingly long for being solo. Yeah. But same thing as usual. Make sure you interact with this in some way. It would be pretty cool. You know, don't be afraid to follow us on socials. I'll try to be more active now that I have a little more free time because I finished my internship. Woo! School's just around the corner. Woo! Not really. But yeah, make sure you go follow us, pinstripe.podcast on Instagram, all around. But yeah, for the Pinstripe Podcast, Ivan Scott, Lexi's not been here, but this week, I should say. But we will see you all next week. Bye.